The epistle appointed to be read for this, the first Sunday after Easter, is taken from the first epistle of St. John. Beloved, all that is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is there that overcomes the world if not he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came in water and in blood, Jesus Christ. Not in the water only, but in the water and in the blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness that Christ is the truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth: the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three are one. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, which is greater, that he has borne witness concerning his Son. And he who believes in the Son of God has the testimony of God in himself. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. John. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, when it was late that same day, the first day of the week, though the doors where the disciples gathered had been closed for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced at the sight of the Lord. He therefore said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." When he had said this, he breathed upon them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them, and whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being closed, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Bring here thy finger, and see my hands, and bring here thy hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing." Now Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed." Many other signs also Jesus worked in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, there are several of the usual points in the bulletin this morning, which you can certainly read for yourselves. However, I bring to your attention that tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday of this week are days of very special feasts. As you know, the Feast of the Blessed Mother, the Assumption, takes place on March the 25th, and that the Feast of Saint Benedict takes place on March the 21st, and that the Feast of Saint Joseph takes place on March the 19th. Now, when these feasts occur after Passion Sunday, this year, as you know, Easter was very early, and they took place after Passion Sunday, all three feasts. After Passion Sunday and all the way through today, from Passion Sunday through today, Low Sunday, no feast may be celebrated. So these big feasts have to be transferred. And they are transferred, therefore, to the first day or the first days that are not impeded by for any other reason. And so, in the order of priority, tomorrow we celebrate the Feast of the Annunciation. The day following, Tuesday, we celebrate the Feast of Saint Joseph. And the next day, Wednesday of this week, we celebrate the feast, our own feast of Saint Benedict, our own founder. All three days this week, these three feasts, are supremely important and supremely great. Tomorrow is the Feast of the Annunciation, and as you know, that at that moment, the entire plan of Almighty God, the all-powerful God Almighty, the entire plan and design of Almighty God for the redemption of all the race of human beings, all the race of human beings, depended totally, completely, and entirely on the word of a little girl. And until that little girl answered, can you not imagine that all of the citizenry of heaven, that every angel of heaven held his voice, held his breath? It all depended on her. I will do it. She had all the power at that moment that was required by Almighty God to save us. It was all in her hands. And when she did say, I will do it, can you not understand that all of heaven must have broken out in all of the glory that heaven has ever, ever witnessed. The Feast of the Annunciation is central. It is extremely important. And on that day, we should be very grateful to that girl named Mary, a child we might consider these days. She is the one that took the key and put it in the lock of the door. She didn't turn the key, she put the key in the door. The turning of the key was to come later. The next day we celebrate the Feast of Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph gets pushed around all the time, and yet in all of Scripture, Do you find one word that has come out from the mouth of that man? He was asked to do things that not one man in this house today or any day would be willing to do, certainly without an enormous amount of disturbance. Saint Joseph was a very great saint, an extremely great saint. And after the Blessed Mother, I think it only proper that Saint Joseph be placed first in the order of importance. The next day we celebrate the feast of Saint Benedict. Saint Benedict for us is our father and is the father really of Western monasticism and of Western civilization, actually, if you want to get right to it. Today, it appears that there are those, whoever they may be and wherever they may be, it makes no difference, that downplay the importance of the work that such a man as Saint Benedict had envisioned. The monks and the nuns that he prepared did not run around all over the place trying to get this done and trying to get that done. They were in their enclosure. They stayed in their enclosure. Once they walked into their enclosure, they went into total solitude. In many cases, they were totally unknown. And yet, in the prayer that came from those enclosed men and women, the power of those men and women converted the barbarian. They never saw the barbarian. They never talked to him. They stayed enclosed. They didn't run around in the streets trying to do this and trying to do that and trying to do all the other things that people think are necessary to convert the world. May I point this one thing out? I'm old enough to have seen it, and it was not a pretty sight. Men and women, especially the women, were women of holiness and sanctity and piety and silence and penance and mortification. And they were in their convents, not because of any force, but because they wanted to be in their convents to do the penance and the mortification and the like. And along about 50 years ago, I saw it. I was there. About 50 years ago, something happened. And the doors to those beautiful gardens of God's holy grace were thrown open. Off came the beautiful garment that was worn by those lovely ladies, and they were ladies. Dear people, Go back to your history and read it. As soon as those doors of those convents flew open, and those lovely ladies started prancing around in the inner cities of the world and started doing their thing and started working on the barbarian, as soon as those doors were thrown open, go back to your history. As soon as those doors flew open, the Church of Jesus Christ went into a total, complete, and absolute tailspin. To where it is today. If you don't believe what I've said, I recommend again, go to your history books. And it is amazing today how many there are, I will not mention names, how many there are that downplay the importance of prayer, who downplay the importance of those women and men who once upon a time, unknown to anybody and everybody, kept the hand of Almighty God from touching the fierce filth of this world, and who prayed for saints and made saints from inside the enclosures of their convents. I tell you these things because I want you to know these things, because as you move about, you will run in to remarks that need to be corrected. And it is amazing where it comes from. Today's Epistle of St. John. Today's Epistle of St. John. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. There are a lot of people, countless numbers of people, who know what the book says, but who have no faith. It might come to you as a surprise that Lucifer himself has the scripture, the holy book of scripture, completely memorized. He knows every word that is in that book. Does Lucifer have any faith? How many people there are today that prance around the world and who think that it all depends on what they say? And did I not say last week, my beloved precious people, that sermons are preached by fools like me? And I stand a fool before you to preach. But the Word of God is suffering violence. And the life of God is suffering violence. We all wish to be called Christian, and we classify ourselves as Christian. But unless and until we believe Jesus Christ, unless and until we believe as we are supposed to believe, and that is the way He wants us to believe, unless we believe in this which we are commemorating right now, namely His resurrection, if we do not believe that in its totality, precisely as it happened, we are not Christian. And that is that, as plain and as simple and as incisive as that. If we do not comprehend the resurrection, we are not Christian. And when Christ appeared, yes, He showed them His hands and His feet and His side. Poor old Thomas was not there. I know another person whose name is Thomas, a priest, a dear friend of mine. He's only 100 years old, actually, in truth, who is very much like this kind of Thomas, a Didymus. He's a wonderful priest, truly. But unless you show it to him in black and white, he ain't gonna believe it. Our Lord came and slammed Thomas down and said, come here, look, give me a hand. Come here, put it in my side, come here, and put it in my side. And good Saint Thomas fell on his knees immediately. And what did our Lord say to him? Blessed are you, Thomas, who believed, or whatever, here. But blessed are they who do not see, yet believe. You and I have not seen, but we believe. The enemies of Christ, is strange how the grace of God operates. The enemies of Christ, they knew without question, they knew what had taken place. They knew that He was alive. They actually went so far, as we know from Scripture, to go to the soldiers and pay them and instruct them as to what to say when asked concerning this resurrection. And here we have a bunch of poor men willing to receive the money who lied. And to this very day, this lie persists in the minds of the majority of humankind. That lie. We didn't see it, therefore we don't understand it. We can't understand such a thing as that. That is fable. My beloved people, those men and those women I spoke of earlier, it is to this that they have totally dedicated themselves. You're not called upon to do the same thing in the same way. No, no, you're not. You're not expected, but you are expected to be the kind of Christian that is demanded of anyone today who wants to believe or who has any inkling of wanting to believe. You cannot do it both ways. You cannot go about it half-heartedly. And this belief, my beloved people, now here is where a little bit of the rub comes in. Believing only is not enough. Is not enough. The apostles believed, but yet they knew, and they knew what to do, but they were scared, and they stayed behind locked doors. They did not know what to do. They had to wait. They had to wait till the Holy Spirit came to them and touched them. The power of grace, it isn't the spoken word. It's not the spoken word. It is the power of grace that operates in me. It is the power of grace that operates in you. And unless the power of that grace is operative in you and me, precious people, and in anybody else that you may know or love in this life, unless the power of that grace operates in me and you and anybody, understand me well. Understand me very well. Unless the power of that grace operates in me and you, I am dead, and so are you. What kind of dead do you not understand? Who is there that overcomes the world if not he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We are not here to play with tiddlywinks, which so many people today think that that's life. Is it any wonder that anybody and everybody that you see today is dying of spiritual starvation, and their faces show it. Their eyes tell you what is going on inside of those poor, miserable, hungry, wretched people. Unless we believe, we are dead. Unless there is the faith of God, the grace of God within us, we are dead. And we won't find this out until that day when vision comes to us. And just once upon a time, when Adam and Eve turned and looked down upon themselves and saw there and then that they were naked. But it was too late. Just as Adam and Eve once did that, we at that moment pour not the unbelievers, please understand me well, will look down upon themselves and see for themselves as they look down. They will see that they are dead.